Well, welcome to another Postcom Postal podcast. My name is Gene Del Polito. I'm president of the Association for Postal Commerce. And joining me here today is Angelo Anagnostopoulos, who's vice president of postal affairs at a company called Gray Hair Software, and Raymond Chin, who's the vice president of product development at Gray Hair as well. Today, we're going to be getting together and talking a little bit about a topic that I know that is near and dear to both of your hearts, and that's the whole issue of managed services. It's a fairly new concept when it comes to postal. Would one of you please just start off by talking to us a little bit about what are managed services?
Sure. You know, this is an interesting concept, and it's something really that's been catching on by the software industry in general in reaction to the environment. I mean, things have gotten very, very complex, especially when you look at it from a dealing with the postal service perspective, especially with the introduction of things like intelligent mail, things like full service, being full service compliant, electronic documentation, and some even more controversial and some more dangerous things like move update compliance, etc. There's a lot of regulatory things that have to be adhered to in the new environment. It's not, you know, as simple as I got a mailing list, I'm just going to go ahead and throw it in the mail and I'm pretty much done. Now you have to worry about a variety of different things. Well, being that the environment now has gotten real, real complex, the solutions around being able to be compliant have become real complex. And what a lot of people are finding is that it's very difficult to maintain a huge IT infrastructure, have the technical expertise to do a lot of this stuff. So the industry in general is responding, and when I say the industry, I'm talking about the software industry, is responding in kind by providing things like software as a service type solutions or things like managed services, which basically means is that, you know, the complexity around how to do these things is removed, as well as having to do physical installs of software anymore, especially now with the proliferation of the internet, and that it's pretty easy to communicate and exchange data back and forth. So what a lot of people are doing, and you'll hear this term by some others called cloud computing, et cetera, is you know, the software resides in one centralized location, secured, available to everyone, and then people access that on a remote basis, which makes it much easier and really for a lot of people much faster to be able to get up to speed and to be able to run. So something changes and people can participate much quicker than having to go through the investments that, from the old traditional type model in order to be able to do things.
Okay, you've tossed out three concepts. You've talked about managed services, you've talked about software as a service, and you've also talked about cloud computing. Are these things the same? Are they different? And if so, how are they different?
So they're a little bit different, but for the most part, they're pretty much the same. And let me explain to you what I mean by that. I mean, cloud computing, let's just start with that. That's probably about the simplest concept. Cloud computing is a concept that several large corporations have started to offer services around, including companies like Microsoft and others. And what they're basically doing is they're setting up all these very, very high-end data centers with very high-end communications and servers. And in cloud computing, basically what you get is you get access to a server, access to storage. You might get access to things like SQL Server and some other type of infrastructure things. But what you're basically doing is you're writing software and it's hosted at an external site, so you don't have to have the physical computers on site and have to deal with managing that. So that's basically just an environment that's available out there for you to use that's highly scalable as your business grows. So that's one concept. Now, software as a service is kind of the next step up from that. Software as a service is basically that type of an environment, but the software is there and ready for you to use. And it's an a la carte, as you need it type of a thing. So people go in and, you know, read the manuals, figure out how to use it, go in and start to use the software and to perform the different functions that they need. And then you go one step up from that, and then you get into managed services, which adds a little bit more complexity in that. In that, there's sometimes humans involved for the company that's offering the managed services to actually help you through a lot of the process of what it is that you need to do. So, as an example, you know, you might have them set certain parameters, set certain jobs up, do some of the auditing behind the scenes and all of that. So it's a more comprehensive, more robust type of a solution, primarily geared towards, you know, people that aren't really postally savvy and just need that extra little help.
When someone thinks of the term managed services and also human factor, they may think outsourced bodies and using consultants as equivalent. But what we're finding in a lot of the technologies that's taking us from the cloud platform to software as a service is people are needing to capitalize and understand the postal expertise. And with the intelligent mail barcode and the postal systems that we are all encountering today, a lot of that stuff can be automated, but it takes brain work and really understanding how all the elements of the postal supply chain comes together. So between the mixture and a managed service, between the right postal brain and person putting these processes together, we're able to automate these managed services and make them hum and meet postal compliance in the process.
In years past, people would tend to think of what would they need in order to be able to be involved in mail marketing, and they would say, well, there are simple software packages that are available off the shelf. Isn't that still the case, or do you think that things have changed so that the idea of managed services makes more sense?
Unfortunately, what has happened is over time, as we try to do things like, you know, classification reform and product redesign and, you know, all those other buzzwords you've heard, you know, where we're trying to simplify mailing, you know, we've turned this into a very, very complex animal. And what ends up happening is a certain software can do certain things really well and other things not so well. And what you hear a lot of people now start to talk about is, you know, we really want best of breed. It's really difficult to find one packaged shrink wrap product that can take you from, you know, soup to nuts all the way through with everything that you need to do. And, you know, it's just the nature of the beast. Things have become very, very complex. So it's really difficult to be able to do that and to, you know, like you used to in the good old days, as we say. So, you know, what you find is you find people that are looking for those types of robust solutions. And I think it's much easier when you're up in the cloud, so to speak, to be able to kind of put all of that together and to offer it.
What's the target audience for these sorts of services?
What we're finding and what we're hearing is, especially when you look at this from a Postal Service compliance perspective, you know, you've got the November date out there where there's going to be all kinds of new checks and things that are going into place. There's a January date that we're kind of working towards with the Postal Service. And then there's next May when all of the old, basically, technology goes away around PostNet and that, and you have to start using intelligent mail and that. So what you're finding is you're finding the larger companies that have invested a lot of money are ready. Then there's a second level that are trying to get ready in a hurry. But there's a whole lot of people out there that have no clue that some of this stuff is coming, and the ones that do don't fully understand the complexity. So the people are starting to scramble right now trying to get into those deadlines and making sure that they're providing these services for their customers, because, you know, in reality, if they can't provide things like full service and that to their customers, or basic service or whatever it is that the mail owners want to do, these people aren't going to be in business much longer. So those are the type of people. It's the medium to the smaller companies, and to some degree, some of the larger companies need to, you know, are scrambling right now to get on board with this stuff.
Look, I got to tell you, I read a lot of trade literature and a lot of stuff on the web, and I don't see a whole lot being discussed relative to managed services. What's being done to promote the awareness of the fact that this is an alternative that people can use?
Yeah, that's another real good question, and I know I do the same where I look through some of the trade journals and stuff, and some people will go out there and, you know, put a little line item in their marketing and their advertising and all that these are, you know, managed, or, you know, these are software as a service type solutions and all that. And we're starting to see that, especially around the CAS and NCOA space and some of those other areas and stuff, where to some degree, some of it's become commodity, some of it is customized to handle additional requirements of things like move update and that. But you're right, you don't, it's not readily apparent to the layman or to the average person where one type of product might be something that you have to purchase and install and make investments versus, you know, you basically just log into the internet and you're ready to go kind of a thing. And that's another one of these things I think that people aren't fully aware of, and maybe some more awareness needs to be put out.
Yeah, and I think that when you look in the publications and literature, the world of cloud platform or cloud computing, ability to get to scalable systems and really look at your hardware controls and cost, that IT side is, you'll see a lot of publications on that. When you start looking at software as a service, you're seeing the movement that carries over naturally with that type of technology. And there's really two mixes when in software as a service. The studies are starting to come out. Actually, I was reading the other day that Aberdeen put out that you know, the very, very large companies are looking at the platforms because they're trying to save IT costs. And then the lower end side is looking at that because they don't have the capital to invest into hardware and into install and manage the systems. Now, we have the complexity in our world of very complex postal applications, and that's where there's the right mix of automation, using people, and also understanding postal rules to be able to manage all of those environments and be able to bring the best solution. So that's where we're seeing some of the trends now, that people are losing the postal expertise. They have IT costs. They have server costs. How do they do that? And also to keep up with postal updates that are on an ongoing basis with updating postal directories for CAS and NCOA, and also keeping up with the postal regulations that constantly change.
Okay, assume for a second I happen to be, let's say, a cataloger, and I'm new to the business. I'm getting the business up and going. I think I've got a great product or a series of products I'd like to sell. I hear about this thing called managed services. What do I need on my end relative to the hardware in order to be able to participate in a managed service program?
One of the beauties of having a managed service type of a solution is you really, as long as you have high-speed internet and access to a computer, you're pretty much ready to go. Because what happens in this type of an environment is you don't have to buy computer hardware. You don't have to install any type of software because it's hosted somewhere else, and what you're doing is you're basically accessing that information remotely. The other kind of nice thing is you know, you get into the, again, just to talk a little bit about the Postal Service side of the world, where you have to communicate with platforms like Postal One. Those are kind of bi-directional high-speed communications in that, and really in a managed environment, though, there are other servers that are talking to the Postal Service, so you don't really have, let's say, a small little letter shop or a small little mailer that's sitting there with a DSL or a cable modem trying to do those type of communications and having to transmit these large files and all that. So it really works out pretty well, and you can get up to speed, like Ray was saying a minute ago, pretty quickly. You know, you log in and you're ready to go.
Okay, you know, you've talked a little bit about how this might be a solution for handling the IT side of preparing the mail, entering the mail, and so on. But as we all know, the rubber meets the road with the Postal Service when it comes time to actually hand over a check. How do these services relate to the fact that I have to pay postage, how my postage gets reconciled, how do we verify that, in fact, the stuff has been adequately prepared, and that what I'm going to pay you is going to be the only thing I'm going to have to pay, and that I'm not going to be subject to getting dinged later on by somebody running around and saying, well, you did this wrong.
Yeah, boy, that's a pretty interesting question, and there really isn't a simple answer, but let me see if I can comment on a couple of items there. So one of the things that the Postal Service is not pushing the industry, but steering the industry towards, and doing that in some cases through incentives like full service discounts, is to get into what's called electronic documentation. So And really, from an industry perspective, it doesn't really make sense, especially in today's environment, to be in a paper world. So what you have is you have several different products out there that manipulate industry standard specifications like mail.dat, and other industry specifications like mail.xml. Those are the two predominant communication methods that you can use to do electronic documentation with the Postal Service. Now, where you get into the sophistication, where I think you were kind of alluding to is, you know, these products have to be smart enough, number one, to make sure that you're not sending data to the Postal Service that's going to fail validation. That's where that bi-directional communication was that I was talking about a minute ago. So you have to have really, really highly sophisticated software that scrubs all of this data, makes sure it's accurate, and does all of these different things. In the case of, you know, where there's an issue in that, you have to be able to either have a way to automatically fix that or a way to communicate that back with the user to say, you know, there's a defect here, this needs to be corrected, the Postal Service will never accept this type of file. So it gets pretty complex pretty quick when you're starting to talk about that. Then there's the other side of it. You know, what happens when the mail hits the field and there's problems and there's fines and all that? The Postal Service has introduced things like MicroStrategy reports that give you that capability, but there's a lot of human effort involved going in and looking at all that stuff. So what we're doing is we're working with the Postal Service to try to get all of that data available to us electronic. So what that does is that allows products, you know, like as an example that we've built, to be able to pull that data down and to be able to interpret that to the customer in such a way that they understand what the issues are, and in some cases gives them the capability to say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and have to pay this fine because I, you know, there was some defect with the mailing as an example. So it just further complicates things, in other words.
Continue that conversation. When you get into the deep elements of the postal supply chain, particularly with e-doc and the intelligent mail and the electronic communication and validation and verification process that takes place not only in the physical mail but on the electronic side, from a person that's got to manage it, implement it, and start up into this world, it's very confusing, and there's, what, 5 or 6 postal guides and implementation booklets on trying to understand all these pieces. In a managed service environment, we're really giving you the what are those QuickBook things called? The cliff notes on how to get through this, because of the experience with the managed service says these are the key steps you need to take. And a lot of the questions that we do when we consult and work with our clients are, here's all the nuts and bolts that we're going to do to process your mail and do your validation. What we want you to know is, when should you be alerted when you have problems? Do you want to, and our system spends a lot of time on alerting them on transmission times, how, you know, is your mail.dat being completed on time? Do we see any internal problems with the files? And that communicates it to your whole supply chain so that remedies can be taking place and resolved before that mail is presented to the Postal Service.
So you're talking about something which basically allows me to say, you're going to share responsibility with me in terms of how this mail is prepared, and while you may not be sharing the risk, you're certainly lessening the risk for me.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's all about mitigating risk, you know, in this particular scenario. And again, Ray said this a little while ago, you know, there's not a lot of expertise out there, especially with a lot of the mailing community, especially because this stuff is in such a state of flux and constantly changing. I mean, you could put out all the webinars in the world and start to talk to people about all of this stuff, but, you know, when the rubber hits the road there, it gets real complicated really quick, and people are looking for really, you know, a combination of solutions and consultative services in that to make sure that, you know, what they're preparing is correctly. And more importantly than that, as I was suggesting earlier, people need to get up to speed really quick and be able to, you know, comply with all this stuff, because a lot of people are just starting to hear this stuff, you know, even though we've known about this stuff for a year or two or longer, some people are hearing this stuff for the first time.
Now, to be able to get involved in managed services, do I need any people on my staff with IT expertise?
No, not at all. If you can work Internet Explorer or Safari or one of the other major browsers, that's all you really need to know.
So this is all something that can be done by the Internet browser-based approach, a real simple way of interacting with your offices in order to be able to have the services provided.
Yep.
Okay, now, you know, you've talked about the data, you've talked about the cloud. All I know about a cloud is you can't see through it, and if you try to stand on it, you're going to fall right through. So explain to me a little bit more about what do you do to make sure that I don't lose my data, and what steps are going to be taken to make sure that my data are secure?
Yes, that's one of the other beauties about this whole type of an environment. There's a couple of things there, and I'll just kind of explain to you kind of what we do just so that you understand. So we have, as an example, a primary data center. And one of the things that we have to make sure is, you know, what happens if that data center goes down, if there's a communication failure? So as a result, we have a secondary data center on a different electrical grid system using a different internet carrier and all that, you know, to ensure that you have uptime. So that's really item number one. You have to maintain uptime. Then we have basically storage space, and it's all redundant storage space. Gets backed up on a nightly basis, and all of that information gets stored. Because one of the things that, you know, and it's just, you know, kind of a philosophy of mine, we don't really, you know, expect our customers to have to maintain their own data and store things for a year like you're required within certain postal regulations and that. So we just kind of store all that for them in a secured, backed up environment, which is really kind of nice because then they don't have to really worry about a hard drive breaking on somebody's computer and losing, let's say, some mail DAT data, and then they get audited and they can't reproduce the results of that particular mailing to defend themselves one way or the other.
Okay, let's say for a second I've started using the services. I ran into a problem. How do I get help?
It really depends upon what the problem is. I mean, if it's in response to an audit, and let's say you need to pull up data, the data is there, and even if it's archived, you can recall it so you can pull the data up. In some cases, you might need technical expertise to kind of understand what it is that, you know, when there's a defect. Let's say that the Postal Service comes to you and says you failed move update, and then you need some diagnostics.
Okay, hold on. No, I'm not even talking about anything that sophisticated. I just recently had to put up a conference board associated with our website, and I can tell you that conference board software is not necessarily intuitive. Now, we've made it sound easy. I can use a browser to be able to do whatever I need to do. What if all of a sudden what is supposed to sound easy begins to sound tough and I need help? Where do I go for the help?
Yeah, so what happens is, you know, behind a lot of these managed services, what you find is you have to have a customer support department and a staff. And what we've done as an example is we have an 800 number and works 24 hours a day because people work 24 hours a day. And there's people that stand, you know, that sit behind that can answer those types of questions, provided that, you know, you couldn't do that through the self-help files and some of these other areas. So, you know, if you're looking at it, I just don't quite get it, I need a human, you have to have a way to be able to do that, either by sending an email that you would get an immediate response from or by having to dial an 800 number. I mean, that's absolutely a requirement to get into this kind of thing.
The beauty of the various systems, too, in the managed side of things, as you're a new user coming aboard, not only through our onboarding and guidance through the process of learning the system, but our system is constantly monitoring the activity of what you're doing. And as you may make mistakes intentionally or on purpose, our system sends alerts not only to our internal staff, but optionally to the user. We have a couple different mixed modes. We have types of users that are very, very skilled in postal or IT, and then we have very high-level folks that just go into the browser and look at reports and try to get a status of where they are, their whole supply chain, and where their mail and production work is going. And along that whole lines, all of those type of users can subscribe to many, many types of things to keep them informed and try to keep them out of trouble. So what we try to do is, one, do as much upfront work with them to understand what they can do with the system, what upfront notifications and alerts we can provide to them, and then we have the support services that are available 24 hours a day for our clients.
All right, let me hone in on a particular area. You know, there used to be a time when you wanted to do business by mail, you could deal with your addressing systems in sort of a loosey-goosey kind of way. If it had a zip code on it, if it had a reasonably accurate address on it, it pretty much got delivered, or so you thought. Today, things are different. The Postal Service is requiring machines to process mail rather than human beings, and machines like everything to be precise. So we're seeing an escalation in the requirements for address, addressing, address hygiene, in order to be able to say, I now have done whatever I need to do in order to be able to qualify to enter this mail at less than full rates. What kinds of services are provided within a managed service setting that would address those needs?
Yeah, that's a good point. And you're starting to hit on things like move update compliance. I mean, even some of the activity that the Postal Inspection Service is out there where they're auditing people's mailings and making sure, you know, so the machines are checking some things, but there's also humans chasing around looking and making sure that people are compliant with what it is that they're supposed to do. So what that does is it further complicates things on what I call the front end side, where you're scrubbing the name and address records to make sure that you've applied all move update required things and you're sending them to the correct addresses and that you're not sending them to old addresses. Because in fact, if you are sending it to the old address, you're really not allowed to take automation discounts. Those things have to go out at a single piece rate. And what we're finding is we're having to build complex systems with very complex business rules for our customers. And we have solutions around that where a file will go through. And what happens is when the file comes out, it's not as simple as I just have the list. It's just going to go into the mail. What you get is several different categories of mail. You'll get mail that can go out at a discount, a full discount under full service. You might get stuff that will have to go out at a non-automation rate, as an example, because there's some defect in the address that doesn't allow you to get an automation rate. And then you'll find some things, as an example, that have to go out at a single piece rate. So I'll give you an example of that. I mean, the financial industry has certain regulations where they have an address on record, and even though the person moved, they're required by law to mail that person at the original address that they have on file until that customer contacts them and says, I've moved. So what happens is you know, now you have to split those records off and you have to process those at a single piece rate. And when I say split them off, I mean they could be part of the mailing, but you have to assign the proper postage to those. So now there's complex systems, even on the front end of the world, just to make sure that you do things that abide by the move update regulations and that, so that you're not running into trouble with trying to get mail off the dock by paying an immediate fine, or what might be even worse at a later point where you know the inspection service might come at you and say, you know, you're not really doing anything according to the regulations and you're not entitled to any automation rates.
Okay, the last thing I want to do is be hit with surprises. So are you telling me that as part of the managed services, you can help me model this stuff so that I know exactly what I'm in for when I decide that I'm going to be doing business by mail?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things we developed early on, I think, when performance-based verification and some of those things came out, was a product we call Address Score, which gave you basically a risk assessment of where you're at. And, you know, as a result, we kind of embed that into a lot of our technology so that it pops up these kind of warning messages to say, you know, you might think you're good, but, you know, you're subject to failure here. And I think that that's just part of, you know, the way we have to do business today. That all has to be embedded into the technology, because if you're not entitled to get an automation rate, as an example, you can't take it. And you have to make sure you take the appropriate action to route those records through so that you get the right type of discount.
And that's been exactly one of the industry issues and concern in the supply chain, is really on how to manage on applying the right postal rate based upon the data-driven results of your mailings out there. So if it's not supposed to have automation rates, you have to change that and reflect that in there. The other data-driven type of controls are, if you're getting free ACS, you need to apply that information. And that's just not as simple in a lot of the complex world and environments. So what we've done is built a lot of rules and signals and alerts to be able to apply those free ACS records based upon the client's business rules. And depending on that, makes the various controls on trying to preserve and keep that free status for ACS.
okay, let's just say I'm interested in learning more. Who do I get in touch with to find out what I need to know in clearly understandable everyday language so that I don't have to be baffled by a bunch of postal jargon?
Well, you can first go to the Gray Hair Software website where we have various white papers, and that URL is www.grayhairsoftware.com, and it's G-R-A-Y, software.com. Or directly, you can send an email to rchin, R-C-H-I-N, at grayhairsoftware.com, and that's myself, Ray Chin. And my direct phone number you can call is 856-924-2260, and I'll get you to the right people and help you out.
We probably have enough here to call this a wrap. So I want to thank you both for joining me today. And I guess until the next time, we'll just say 73, and Postcom Radio will be going QRT.